Hello, everyone. This is the Dot Matrix podcast, episode 9, which is an interesting number. I'll probably be going number 9, over and over again throughout the podcast, unless Justin slaps me first. But this is Sean.
And Justin.
And we're back once again, a couple weeks, I think, since our last podcast.
Yeah, 2 weeks to the date. It's we're trying to be consistent now, which is not bad.
Kind of doing our Monday evening thing, making Mondays cool. This is all improv, I swear to you all. I actually felt pretty good today. Actually, I went for a run this morning, so
How early did you have to get up to do that?
6:30, actually. I know. Uncivilized, I know. But the reason why I mentioned is because when you walked in, you were saying that you were kind of in this, like, almost like a cloud or...
Yeah, it's just been this, I don't know, not necessarily unproductive, like, got a lot done today, but just... It's one of those where you don't really know what you've done, and you kind of feel off, and you're, like, antsy, and you don't really want to be, like, at your desk or whatever, it's just been a crazy day.
Right on. Well, I think a good way to start today's podcast, after that little mini banter, starting where we left off with your pitching analogy.
Right, yes, we ran way over time last week, so we thought we should cut something.
keep this going on a good pace here.
Quickly. But it was actually really interesting because now that baseball season has started, and I'm actually debating with myself now that the Canucks are out of the playoffs, the Vancouver Canucks are an NHL hockey team, and I can quickly get that off of my list of things to talk about. They didn't make the playoffs, and there's
no comment.
But actually, a lot of the stuff in the paper about the sort of the postmortem, why did they not make, like,
sure.
I love reading
some
all
of that
because it's so true about, like, it's, anyway, so I don't really want to go into it because there's really no point.
Right.
But now that the Canucks are in the playoffs and there's not really much hockey happening in Vancouver, well, the Giants are in the playoffs, which is a junior hockey team. But baseball is now starting. It's like the second week of baseball of the season. And I've been debating with myself whether I want to get back into baseball this year. Because, you know, as a child, growing up, I was so into baseball for a good 10-year span when Mark McGwire was with the Oakland Athletics with Jose Canseco, and the Blue Jays were on the verge of winning their 2 World Series, right? Like, that was my big thing.
Okay.
And I got really obsessed recently around the fact that the Yankees and the Mets are both getting new stadiums next year. So I was going to Wikipedia and looking at all the pictures.
Both of them?
Yeah.
They can't use the same... I guess they have games on the same nights sometimes?
Well, they've always had 2 separate stadiums.
Really?
Yeah, because the Mets... I mean, when you play 162 ball games, that's a lot of ball games. And a lot of times they play against each other. Actually, not a lot of times. A lot of times they play the same night, because they're both in 2 different leagues.
Now, where will these stadiums be located in and around the boroughs?
The Yankees are in the Bronx, and the Mets are in Queens.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And actually, the new stadiums are just literally across the street from the old ones.
Oh, really?
But, yeah. and I think it's really funny because the Mets stadium is called City Park, after Citibank. And, you know, they gave the name rights, the corporation. But Yankee Stadium is going to be called Yankee Stadium. Yeah. They don't need any money, you know? Like, they don't need any. Like, so I thought
it
was kind of...
At least they didn't call it Citibank Place or something. City Park, they took the bank part out of it.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, that is true.
Corporate greed going on.
That is true. I didn't think about that.
True. I guess the spelling is what it's all about, right?
Yeah, and
C-I-T-I.
It is C-I-T-I.
Of course. That's not so bad. That's better than Staples Center. Pepsi Center.
Yeah. True enough.
Actually,
go ahead.
Was that leading to your analogy?
No, that was leading to my analogy.
Okay.
And I'm just saying it was timely because baseball season is happening.
Cool.
But yes, last week I was going to talk, or 2 weeks ago, I was going to talk about my pitching analogy. And this is something I've been sort of marinating in my head for a little while. And I threw it by Tara a few weeks ago and she was like, oh, okay.
I could just hear Tara saying that. Awesome.
And again, it's all part of my year-long odyssey, as we are now documenting on this podcast, since it's timely that we've started these podcasts around the beginning of a new calendar year, to figure out this whole Justin in the dating world circumstance, I guess. I don't know what you want to call it, but...
Yeah,
my
scenario.
My dad just had a big 75 birthday party on the weekend, and
awesome.
A lot of my cousins just, so what's going on with you? And I'm like, just don't ask. And I sound so demoralized about it. I don't know why. I just don't like talking about it. But anyways, pitching. Part of the whole analysis is not really necessarily about becoming a successful quote-unquote dater or whatever in the relationship realm, but try to figure out, right, to do the more analytical thing about what's happening, which is always the kind of way I like to do things, right? Overthink things, right? And part of this process is thinking, you know, I was thinking, I'm like a pitcher in baseball.
Are you?
Right? In this realm of relationships, and hear me out. And everyone's like, it's 5 minutes in and you're finally now getting to the first time. And in baseball, I don't know how much you know about baseball. You don't follow baseball all that much, do you?
Only the scandals.
Yes. So in baseball, there are three kind of pitchers, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are the starting pitchers, there is the middle relief, and then there are the closers, right? Mm-hmm. So you have 9 innings to play a game in baseball, and the starting pitcher is the one who basically obviously starts the game, and he pitches if he can, I guess, well, she maybe, down in the future, maybe, who knows, can, in some ways, if they're really great, they can almost play the whole 9 innings, right?
Mm.
And win the game if they're having a great game.
Mm-hmm.
But typically, you know, a starting pitcher will maybe play 5 or 6 innings, and then, you know, he will get tired a bit, and then they bring in another pitcher, and that's called the middle relief, right? So,
okay.
So let's say your team is winning 5-3 or something, and then, you know, the pitcher starts to get a bit tired, a couple of people get on base, they switch to some middle relief, and then that middle relief pitcher holds the play, try to keep the lead for the next 2-3 innings, and then on the 9th inning, you bring in the closer who just strike after strike after strike, just buries it, right, and finishes the game and wins the game, right?
Okay.
And that way, and the closer gets a save for saving the game, right? And the starting pitcher gets the win, and then the middle relief guy in the middle gets nothing. No recognition. You know, it's just there to help along the game, right?
Right, okay.
And I was thinking, you know, that's a good analogy about dating. You know, when people talk about, you know, going to clubs and who can close the deal, you know,
right.
Like you need a closer, right?
Right.
And the closers are the kind of guys who get the girl at the clubs
get
the phone number or who meet women on a regular basis and knows how to close the deal, so to speak, right? And you can have a lot of fun with a closer or whatever, but a closer can only have enough stamina for, like, the 9th inning, right?
Right.
And usually if you want to be a marriage material, you want to have fun with a closer, but not a lifetime with a closer.
Right.
Because then, you know, that pitcher can't sort of provide the whole package for the whole 9 innings, right?
Right.
Which is a lifetime, quote-unquote, in this analogy, right? Everyone's like, this is so stupid.
No, you're getting there.
And the starter, you know, if they're really good, I mean, the starter is the ideal guy, right? Someone who can close the deal if they go the whole 9 innings, but knows how to start and knows about how to be a good player for the whole game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the middle relief guy who you call in when you want to turn the ship around. You know, like either you're losing horribly and your pitcher's awful and you bring in another guy to try to change the momentum, right?
Right.
Or you're someone who you're winning and you want them to keep it going. You're on the right path and you want to bring someone in, right? And then I thought about, you know, that's actually kind of what I am. You know, I'm kind of a middle relief dude, you know? Like, I'm not a big accolades kind of guy and want to get all the saves or all the wins. But, so I think about some of, and actually I thought about this pitching scenario more about me in my life as opposed to me in my relationship life.
Right.
And I thought, you know, yeah, I mean, it's like some of the stuff I'm doing now with some of my volunteer work, you know, like we're in one of the organizations I do a lot of volunteer work for is sort of, you know, trying to turn a corner, trying to move away from a momentum that's kind of not been positive, right?
Right.
And so I'm coming in and trying to turn the corner, lead us in the better direction. So that's middle relief, right?
Hmm.
And I'm like, but that's kind of like I am too. I mean, if that's the kind of person I am in life, I mean, no wonder why it's the same kind of life and relationships are all kind of the same thing.
Of course.
And I thought, yeah, that's right. I'm not really a starter. And I'm not a closer, that's for sure.
Yeah,
I'm in that middle relief. And I think, so that's my analogy. And the way it's part of my learning process is that how do you go from that middle relief and become a starter? I mean, I obviously don't want to become a closer, but I want to somehow transition to a starting role.
Right, right, right.
So I think the starting
role is pretty important because if you play your cards right, you can end up making it the whole way, right?
Right.
Like, if you're always trying to be the starter and not assuming you'll be the middle relief. Or right. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
all the inner perception.
Yeah, and so, and that's exactly it. And I'm trying to figure out, like how do you make that, like, I assume that I'm middle relief, right? So how do you transition? No, you try the starting role and think about it, and then good things will happen.
True,
so I haven't quite figured this out, but that's my analogy, that my working analogy, so to speak. So people have thoughts or sad comments or just saying, you know, forget this and just move on. You know, let us know.
Definitely let us know. Well, there you have it, ladies. Middle relief.
Middle relief. Yeah. So that's my analogy.
Excellent. I think, you know, it is true. Like, life and sport and, like, there's so many things you can find analogies in that kind of match what you're doing. I think that's important to...
Like first base, second base?
First base, second base. Exactly. That's the more known one. You've kind of added to that. But that was yours was like more a little more deeper take on the whole thing.
You know me. I'm all about being deep. That could have been taken many ways.
Yes.
Oh.
But I think I will change the topic.
Yes, please.
Quite a sharp turn.
Shall we talk about racism?
I think we should, because we should get this newsfeed jingle going on. Yes, bigoted MPs are back in the news.
Did you, like, sorry, go introduce the topic and then
yeah.
ask your question.
Well, I think basically I was thinking, man, do I want to bring this up, you know? Do I want to flog this one?
Apparently you do.
And I think I do, because I keep thinking about it, like,
yeah.
Okay, well, I'll tell everyone what it's about. That's the MP, Member of Parliament, Tom Lukiski? Kuski?
Yeah, I can't know.
I'm not sure how to say his last name. Anyway, about remarks that he made 17 years ago on a videotape.
And he's a Member of Parliament in the federal, so the Canadian Parliament.
Right.
And he's from somewhere in Saskatchewan, right? Which is a...
I think he was a Saskatchewan...
Yeah, MP.
Originally... Like, or like he's from Saskatchewan, right?
Right.
Because they were organizing, running for something,
yeah, it was
against Roy Romanov.
Yeah, it was a provincial election.
Provincial
or Romano,
election.
Yeah,
Romano,
yeah.
So that was, I was really stunned to hear that and to read about it.
Did you see the whole video? Like it was
I
a
did.
Home video. I only saw clips, and I never could hear.
You never got the part?
Yeah, I never heard the words that were being like. I just
oh.
saw some of the grainy footage and.
Yeah, well, the thing is, you know, it's like, I never meant to watch it. In fact, I was talking about it with some people at work, and then what I didn't realize that in the article I was forwarding on was there was a link to the footage, and
okay.
So people had opened up, and I'm like. Holy shit, like, I didn't even realize they released that, you know? So I was like, do I want to watch this guy be this way, you know? But it came up really quickly, and you know, you see, it's just a guy walk around in their offices with this camera, right? And anyway, so he's talking, apparently he's joking, but when I'm watching this guy saying these words, which I'm not going to repeat, because they're pretty awful, you can read about it. We'll forward a link,
yeah,
on,
we'll
the,
forward a link.
On the website. But... when you read what he says, and you actually see him say it with his ridiculous mustache, by the way.
An important piece of
that.
This.
I'll have to check our levels on that. I'm watching it, and it doesn't actually, to me, look like he's actually entirely joking. You know how they say, you know, half-truth in every joke?
Yeah.
Or the way people say their jokes. And you're looking at the guy like, man, it's like, that... You can't blame the booze on every single, you know, comment people make. Yes, things can be taken out of context, but when you're watching it, you're like, that sounds like it's coming from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not me just trying to pin it on a guy who's in the Conservative Party.
Right.
But when I think people are like, oh, it was 17 years ago, and I'm like, yes, but he was... 40 17 years ago. He wasn't 21
right.
or some or
yeah.
17 or whatever. He was 40, just turned 40. So that's what struck me as odd. And though, you know, he had actually one of the better apologies I've seen of like scandalized people in office.
Yeah, he when I saw his
Did you see that?
He came out and he literally just said I'm so sorry. Like, I screwed up. I have no... He doesn't.
Because
he didn't want to
remember it. Like,
probably not. He didn't want to back. I applauded him that he didn't want to backpedal.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and say, oh well, it was. I mean, he could have said, you know, it's out of context, and he said it later on. But from what the footage I saw of him, he just got up there and he just said, you know, what,
excuse me if I offended anyone. You know,
like I really screwed up. You know.
And I think the House and the Prime Minister, and then now the Prime Minister is like, oh well, you're not punishing him. It's like, well. Not to defend the Prime Minister, but I keep thinking, like, what are they going to do with this guy? Like, what do you do when someone has been, you know, saying things like that in the past? Like, what do you do with him today? Do you strip him of his, you know, of his position? Or, like, I don't know if, is that the way to handle it? Do you make him take anti-hate classes or something? Like, I don't know what's out there for guys like this, you know?
Yeah.
But people are like, ooh, well, this is the conservative showing their true colors.
Yeah. And it's not, I've never heard of the guy until this
no,
happened,
me neither.
Right? So it's not as if he, like, how
it
do
It
wasn't
like Flaherty or something.
Yeah, I mean, how do you punish someone who's just on the bottom back benches of Parliament anyways? Like,
yeah.
I mean, you can't take away, like, if he was Minister of X or Y or some, you know, Minister of the Environment or Minister of Finance or something, like, even a Secretariat position or some, or Minister or Secretary of State or something, you could still take that away.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
but
what do you do?
But
like,
what do you do?
Like, other than that, when he had nothing to be taken away anyways, you know, like,
I think, you know,
lose your food allowance. I don't know.
It just goes to show that, like, even back then, and even today, like, guys like that, like, they're still playing with fire all the time, you know? It's like,
yeah.
Oh, this will never come out or whatever. So, that was one thing that I thought, one line that he said was, that doesn't reflect, quote, doesn't reflect my true feelings then, nor does it now. And that was the one line out of his apology I thought, no, come on, you know? Like,
right.
Maybe he doesn't feel that way these days, or maybe he still does, but I couldn't quite believe that line.
Okay.
Because I thought, when you watch him say it, it looks like he's, you know, he's just saying it, and he could have been joking, but at the same time, you're like, really? Like, were you really purely joking there? So, I just wanted to get that out there, because I think a lot of people are, you know, taking sides on that one, and...
Right.
And, I think it's really awful, but I think at the same time, it's like, what do? You know, how do you get past that? Do you take away his pension? What do? You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm sure you thought that was one of the more interesting scandals of the week.
Yeah, but racism isn't as sexy as, like, some sort of sex scandal, you know?
Well,
like,
that's
true. It doesn't replace that.
Oh, someone asked Chelsea Clinton today about, she was campaigning for Hillary, her mom.
Okay.
It's a quick thing, and it was, like, near the end of this appearance she made, and this one person said, oh, how do you think the Lewinsky scandal has affected your mother and her chances, or something like that.
Okay.
And Chelsea, all the more power to her, just said, looked at her and said, that's none of your business, and nor should I think that's the last question that should be
right.
asked here.
Huh.
And people applauded, and I was like, right on. Classy.
Nice.
She could have, you know, gone into it, and she chose not to.
Yeah.
And I thought, that is the way.
It reminds me of that movie when, was it Joan Allen? Who was, like, vying for the vice president role, the contender in the movie, remember that movie? And Jeff Bridges was the president of the United States, and his vice president somehow left, and Joan Allen was, like, gonna be... That's the actress's name, I think so, yeah.
Hmm.
Who was going to be, like, confirmed as the new vice presidential candidate. And
okay.
And there was a question about whether or not she had some sort of, you know, college orgy or something or whatever it was, right? It was some sort of weird, like, you know, fraternity or sorority thing or something like that. And she refused to answer those questions because, not because she, you know, she wants to deny it or talk about it, but because that isn't a, like, if you even start to answer the question, then you say that asking that question is right.
Right.
Right. So,
right.
You know, so that reminds me of that.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting point, for sure.
So we move on to other topics?
Yes, I think we shall. Go ahead.
Since we were talking about racism and controversial characters,
oh, yes.
I wanted to bring up, not more for the controversial aspect as opposed to the racist thing, I'm pretty sure. Unless he was, I don't know. But Charlton Heston died on Saturday, and I don't really have too much to say about it, except for the fact that what I'm really interested in, and obviously when someone passes away, it's never good, but I wonder how he is going, how the tributes will come in or not come in, or how people in Hollywood will deal with this, because
right.
I mean, obviously they'll tribute him and honor him
work.
For his work,
yeah.
But like someone of such where, you know, I mean, Hollywood in itself is a much more liberal place than conservative place, right?
Oh, for sure.
And unless
Nick Nolte. I'm just joking. I'm kidding. No, I'm sure that's not.
I mean, Tom Selleck will probably say some glowing things all around, but you know, like, given that his time in the NRA, National Rifle Association president, and his, you know, iconic, you know, prying my gun from my cold dead hands or whatever he said, right? And like, it's going to be interesting, like, you know, I mean, he has a kind of a career where there is a huge legacy. Like, you could have a huge montage at the next Oscars all about him and his life and his career, because he really represented, like,
the epic
part of Hollywood, right?
Right, right.
But, you know, the legacy gets a little bit tainted when you talk about all the NRA stuff, and you wonder, like, how is it gonna... So I'm very curious about how that's gonna unfold, so...
It's interesting, because they said he suffered from Alzheimer's, and I actually didn't know that.
Yeah, I remember the announcement.
Yeah, that's an awful thing, you know, we all know, I'm sure most of us have opinions on the man, but I'm ambivalent, because he must have done great work. I actually haven't seen, I don't think I've ever seen a whole one of his movies.
I haven't,
you know?
Really. I've never really seen Ben-Hur, although I've wanted to see Soylent Green.
Have
you heard of that one?
The name sounds familiar, but...
Soylent Green is people!
What?
It's some futuristic...
Oh,
I'm going to give away... I mean, spoiler. But it's a movie, it's some sort of futuristic movie where the biggest, like, one of the food that sustains the human race is called Soylent Green, or I think it's... And it's like a cracker or whatever it is. And then the big thing they discover, Charlton Heston discovers, that Soylent Green is actually made of people. So people are eating human beings.
Oh!
And that's the big line, is Soylent Green is people! Sorry.
No, that's kind of... Wow, okay. Well, I think he started to go in that direction, like, doing these kind of, like,
planetary,
you know, kind of topics, but I don't know. When you think of the NRA, I don't know, maybe he's almost like a martyr for that cause. Like, who knows, you know?
Yeah,
like, there's the base that will continue to champion his leadership on that front. But I can't say I'm at all down with that myself. But I wasn't too sad. But at the same time, I obviously don't wish that on anyone. But but interesting to point out there, Justin, for sure.
So from one icon to another, you have a topic?
Oh, well, yeah, I do. It's actually something that, you know, is kind of close to me, and I don't even know why, and that's that the whole Diana inquest verdict was reached today.
Yes, I have to admit, I haven't been following all that closely, but I've
heard about
the news stories of it, and the verdict. So it was a jury who came up with
it,
right?
It was a jury who had listened to like 250 people over the last 6 months, and they had to come, I guess, sort of like a grand jury, I guess you can say, because in England, every death needs to be followed up by an inquest, I think. Every I don't know if it's homicide or suspicious, if they're not sure, it's just British law.
Okay.
So, however,
so what's the ruling, exactly?
Well, the ruling is unlawful killing by Henri Paul, the driver, and the paparazzi.
And
So reckless driving.
Did the chauffeur die, or did he...
He died. The guy who survived was Trevor Rees-Jones, was the bodyguard and the
passenger.
Oh,
that's what it was. And he can't remember a thing or something.
He can't, unfortunately. But what a miraculous recovery that guy had.
So is there any paparazzi that's still around that they can pinpoint who was there at the scene that this verdict would somehow lead to charges?
I think so, actually. Only reason is because I know that they were gathered up, they were rounded up right after it happened. I heard one guy from the paparazzi has actually since passed away, who was one of the guys that they had interviewed that said a bunch of outlandish things. But the reason why I brought it up, I think, is just because it's just, you know, 11 years, almost 11 years later, two official investigations, a British one, a French one, and now this inquest, and the thing that bothered me throughout was this Dodi Fayed's father bringing this on.
The whole, the royal family murdered
the royal
her?
Family, as if the Duke, Prince Philip, masterminded it.
Duke Ellington.
Duke Ellington,
that was such a bad joke. Thank you for
we'll edit
chuckle.
That out. Oh, no, I'm
you gotta keep that one in. That's a gem.
Yeah, so he was like, oh yeah, well, it's if you support any other conclusion, you're part of the establishment of who had a hand in covering this up. It's all the royal family, it's the police, it's everyone. It's like, well, the prime minister, like, it just got insane. It's only because he had the money to put behind it.
Right.
You know, which is the thing that I didn't understand. But really sad, though, that it actually had to go through all of this to now she can actually, like, you know, rest in peace. So that I just wanted to bring that up as just like a kind of a remembrance thing. I always have the really kind of depressing topics, don't I? Bigotry to dead princess, you know, like, it's just, I don't know. That's
the charm of Sean.
That's the, yeah, well, that really affected me when it happened, when she died, so I just wanted to kind of mention that one, because I found it really profound that it's actually gone this long, and they finally resolved, and I think it's, well, he's going to appeal, I heard.
No.
Which is just, like, unbelievable. It's like, dude, just let it drop, you know, let it go, is my take, but anyway.
Wow.
That was my two topics for the day.
I have a slew of other topics, but I'm not going to get into them. We're at 27 minutes, so I don't want to go too much longer. But one thing I will say,
yeah.
I want to talk about the Beijing Olympics, because that's, I mean, there are things that are happening in the world, like, you know, the elections in Zimbabwe, which I really have nothing to talk about except for that. I find it really interesting. Like, and they're talking about, like,
yeah,
we want to recount the votes for the presidential election, although the results haven't even been announced. So how can you ask
officially,
for a
right?
Yeah, how can you ask for a recount for a count that was not even released yet, you know?
I
like
know.
So it's kind of weird. And just, like, I watched a little bit of a news story the other day where they had the opposition leader granted an interview to CBC, and then they had to go through three drivers and four cars to get, you know,
right,
that sort of stuff. Like, it's
like, it's like Pakistan, pretty much.
It's crazy the kind of lengths that you have to go to stay safe in these kinds of circumstances. But more what I thought was interesting was the Beijing stuff with the Olympics,
yes,
coming and the torch.
Yeah, big news.
Relay happening and all the protests. And
yeah,
you know what I find really interesting,
yeah,
is my, in some ways, almost genuine surprise of all this controversy. I don't know why. I should have, like, I mean, you think about it, if you read the stories and you know the history of China and all the human rights issues,
yeah,
like, it makes absolute sense to anyone who's, you know, at all aware in the world,
sure, yeah,
that there would be these protests, and it would be a great opportunity to shine a light on some of these concerns. And I know people talked about it, but for some reason, I don't know why, I was like, oh, right, like, of course you'd protest, and the whole stuff happening in Tibet
mm-hmm,
right now around,
yeah,
you know,
very
just
timely,
right? And,
yeah,
and I mean, obviously, I'm all for human rights, you know, quote,
yes,
unquote, and
yes,
thumbs are up, but I keep thinking, well, you know, I'm also Chinese of heritage, so I should, you know, support my motherland, but I'm like, well, I mean, what, I don't know what that means anyways, really, but I just find it really, I was surprised at my own surprise at how much reaction there was being out there in the world, and especially in London and Paris, and they had to, like, you know, I heard something like in Paris they had to like stop the race like the run at least three times. And there's like
People are actually going up with like extinguishers. Yeah, it's just like, oh my god.
And so like it's very interesting. I don't know if you, I mean, if you have any thoughts on it, but I just thought it was like, I don't know why I was so surprised.
You know, I'll give a 1 minute thought as we
close it out.
I mean, my take is, oh man, it's really hard for me to say. I think all those examples of human rights violations are worth obviously alerting people around the world about, and it's good to protest. I just wish it wasn't so violent all the time, because all you see are pictures of the police pulling a mother away, holding her daughter, dragging across the pavement, you know, people
right.
getting beaten. And not just, like, in, like, Tibet, like you said, like, in France, London, Lhasa, I think, was it? Or, I think, is that the place in Tibet? Like, huge...
Yes.
Huge protest. And it's just, like, it's sad because it puts a sour note in the Olympics, and only in the sense that the Olympics are supposed to be about peace and understanding between countries, yet... I don't think it just doesn't look very organized right now. It looks very just like, you know, people just going out there. But then really, like, what difference does it make? You know, people are showing their emotions and,
yeah.
you know, how else can you get your point out there?
And I get the drive that people want to use the Olympics as a way to
yeah.
sort of make change happen. Because,
yeah.
I mean, that's in some way... The whole Olympic ideal is about that, right? I mean,
yeah.
how do you influence good things happening in the world? Well, through sport. I mean, it's the whole iconic thing
yeah.
about the Olympic is about that, right?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
But what has been, I mean, the real disappointment in the games is that it's really not about that, right? And you know, and the business of the Olympics is totally
oh.
precedent, and we can get to a whole discussion about that, which we won't because we're already past our time,
right.
But when people say, you know, they shouldn't boycott the games, it's about sports and it's about the athletes, you know. And, you know, I get that to a certain degree, but at the same time, you're like... The Olympics themselves are touted as being more than just sport. So it's sort of like when...
It's like, well, which way do you want it?
Yeah, exactly. And it's sort of... I've had these debates, I can't remember if it's been with you or with other people lately, about sort of like, you know, sports heroes, you know, are they there just to play their sport, or are they to actually be role models to kids and stuff? And I always remember Charles Barkley saying, you know, I'm a basketball player. I can't take any responsibility for the fact that kids look up to me. Like, I'm just going to play my game and live my life. And, you know, if I'm a role model, that's not my problem. But I'm like, but that is your problem. Like, it kind of is, you know, like, I don't like it when
yeah.
people abdicate responsibility
yeah.
with, although it's circumstances outside of their control.
Yeah.
But they have influence.
I totally
you know?
Agree.
And you have to, you can't just say, oh, well, you know, I didn't mean to have influence, but...
And they're depending on that kid to buy the shoes, the basketballs,
yeah.
the jerseys.
Yeah.
It's like,
so
okay,
yeah.
you'll easily take their money, yet you're going to say that you have no part at all
yeah.
in how these people develop when they see you over the years, you know? Like,
yeah.
that's a very good point.
So I see the Olympics as that... argument in a grander scale, right?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
yeah. But anyways, I thought that was interesting.
No, that's a very good point. And we, just before we go, I'll just mention that we will get into Olympic talk more.
Yes.
About our own Olympics coming up.
Yes.
Yes,
as Ed McMahon would say.
You are correct, sir. Yes.
Well, on that grunt.
Yes, on that grunt. Why don't you close it out, Justin? I opened it. Oh, I did another knee slap. Oh, God. Okay.
Well, I'll save my other topics for another day. We do want to talk about
the
games.
Yes.
And I've got other topics that I want to discuss as well. But otherwise, it's been fun.
Yes, it has.
And we
as
were
always.
A little bit late, but, you know, better than last week.
Yeah.
And here's to another one in a couple of weeks, I guess.
Yes,
indeed. Stay safe, everyone.
Yeah, be gentle and protest peacefully. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Nice.